This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise BizBytes. Today, I'm in the studio with...
Jeff Sandu.
And Vinny Braj.
Our producer, of course, is Christine Wong. Give us a shout, Christine.
Hey!
If you are tuned in and you want to get in touch, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. Do it safely. If you're in your car, please pull over to the side of the road. Also, we're on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. Today, we are talking about tricky websites, or have you been tricked into paying more for your getaway? This is because we've just read in a piece from the New Straits Times about how some travellers in Singapore using an online travel booking site have ended up paying more than they bargained for because of the non-transparent pricing and marketing practices used on these sites. Not unusual. I'm sure we've all at some point fallen for these little tricks. Mm-hmm. If you listen to something Arvin was talking about a couple of weeks ago, these are called dark patterns, and a lot of these travel websites tend to employ some of these methods. We're going to talk about a couple of them, how you can avoid them, and hopefully we're going to get some of your stories about how you have been tricked into paying more for your travel and stuff. So that's what we're talking about today. Again, 018-789-8899. It's 12:05. Our story number two will be how... Arvin, do you want to introduce this one?
Yeah, it's about how nothing lasts forever. 21.
Boom. Mm. I read it earlier and I'm like, oh, he's had a good night's sleep, hasn't he? He's got his puns are coming out today. And Jeff, what are we wrapping up with today?
We're talking about how technology perhaps could be the saviour for forest fires.
Can it put out peat bog fires as well over in places like Kalimantan? And
hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Mm. Okay, something that we can talk about later then. Right. So this is what... Singapore are doing, the Competition and Consumer Commission of Singapore, the CCCS, flagged a concern on September the 30th. They've released findings of a nine-month-long market study on the online travel booking sector in Singapore, and they've found that people are paying more than they should be. And to tackle such practices in the industry and beyond, they're proposing guidelines on price transparency for all consumer-facing businesses. The guidelines will provide more clarity on what constitutes an infringement of consumer protection laws and set out the factors and circumstances that the Commission may consider in assessing if advertising prices and related practices are potentially misleading. That aside, what they go on to talk about is methods that these websites and other websites use to kind of trick you into paying a little bit more. So a couple of the ones that we'll run through. Drip pricing. Have you heard of this?
No. Mm-hmm.
Right. So drip pricing is a practice of adding mandatory or optional fees during a transaction or payment process, resulting in a final price that is higher than advertised. So this can lure customers into making a purchase based on incomplete price information and restrict competition by making it harder for consumers to compare product offerings across suppliers. So one common practice is displaying prices without including booking and credit card fees and add-ons like insurance.
We've all had this experience.
That's the kind of drip pricing. Mm. So the CCCS recommendations that suppliers should ensure that any unavoidable or mandatory fees or charges are included in the total price. Something I think we can all agree on. Mm-hmm. It is, mm-hmm. Something smart and useful. Mm-hmm. The other one, number two, pre-ticked boxes. How many times have we fallen for this?
Yeah.
Check boxes to purchase additional products or services that suppliers have pre-selected for consumers can lead to consumers buying unwanted add-on products as a result of failing to opt out. Things like travel insurance, for example. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Things like extra baggage, for example. These are things that will be included in that one. Number three, strike-through pricing. Referring to the practice of representing a discount on a product where the original price is crossed out adjacent to the sale price, and it can mislead consumers into making a purchase or paying a higher price, of course. So some of the hotels and airlines that use this technique, 35 and 39% respectively, disclose that the strike-through price may match only some features of the product and thus does not reflect its true pricing at all.
Yeah, I mean, any supermarket or like retail store does this. Like anywhere you go, like sale or 70%, it was $500 and now it's $70. And like, there's no way that even makes sense. But yeah, they've been doing it for ages. Yeah, most supermarkets.
Number four, pressure selling techniques, creating that false sense of urgency for consumers to make a purchase based on inaccurate information. Examples including a temporary sale or special price for a limited period only when the price will still be available beyond the limited period, or that ever-growing thing of 18 people are looking at this room right now.
Oh, that pressures you. Yeah.
Only two seats left on this flight. Please book now.
Yep.
What rubbish. You know, it's like they think we were born yesterday. Because, I mean, this very thing happened to me last week when I was trying to book a flight for somebody to fly to India. I'm looking at it and it's like one seat left, one seat left, one seat left. And I'm like, buy. It put me through, entered my credit card details. Sorry, sir, this flight has already filled. You need to move up to the next tier of you know, tickets.
Which is more expensive.
Mm. And so I'm like, no, I'm not having that. Closed the thing down, opened it up in a different browser. One seat left. I'll book it. Sorry, sir, this seat is no longer available. It's like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
It's rubbish. Right, we want to know some of the issues that you face. Have you faced any of these? And I'm sure some of you will have done. Let us know via WhatsApp. 018-789-8899. Twitter, Instagram, at BFM Radio. You guys.
I'll have to admit, the only thing that I've fallen for is the 34 people are looking at this room in this resort. And I'm always like, oh, I have to fight with 34 people who might not exist. And then I buy
that
room.
Where are they? Yeah, what are they doing?
Yeah, it's always 34 people, 36 people. I think the higher the hotel or the resort pays the platform, so they get bumped up higher and the more people on their listing. And it's always a blinking red like text. Like, you know, six people are looking at this room. You better book fast. And every time you refresh, it's smart enough to move the numbers up and down.
Right.
So you actually think that it's organic, like people are moving in and out. But there's probably no one there. So I've fallen for that. I've made the booking. Then I go back like a week later just to check on my previous booking. And there's still 36 people or 32 people looking at the same room. So
of course,
that's the biggest one that I've fallen for.
Yeah, I mean, no one can escape this. You know, even though I'm like, I do a show on tech and how these kind of, you know, companies, they have abilities to, I guess, you know, use consumer insights and generate the kind of information to give back to the consumers, right? So having like 36 people looking at your site, even though I know at times this may not be true, I still fall for it because you feel pressured. We're all human beings. You feel pressured and you want to have that, you know, you found that dream resort for your dream holiday.
At the right price.
You can afford it as well. And then it tells you only one suite left, 37 people are looking at it, right? What do? You buy it immediately. Yeah. You pay for it immediately. So I've been a victim of this, but I think it expands beyond just travel.
For sure.
We see so many e-commerce sites these days. And they will tell you about the, you know, the slash pricing, right? So they will come up with a day of some sale, and then, you know, it'll tell you like, you know, today is the weather is great sale. So, and they start selling you items and, you know, immediately you notice like, hang on a minute, all these items that are on a 30, 40, 50, 60, 70% discount, their retail, the recommended retail price or the price before the discount is way higher than the actual product price itself, right? Yeah. And we've seen this so many times, and if you just, you know, do a quick search online on the recommended retail price of the specific product, you would find most of this information from the manufacturer themselves, right? So if you go onto any site, they would normally have like a fine print, what is the recommended retail price, and then when you go on to compare in an e-commerce site, they will tell you that the, you know, this item is apparently 3,000 ringgit and now you can buy it because it's the weather is really good today sale, and you can buy it for, you know, 300 ringgit,
50%
or whatever, 70% or whatever it is, the percentage, right? But when you look at the recommended retail price, it is actually recommended at maybe just slightly more than the discount item of like 300 ringgit or something, right?
Right.
So what they're offering you is just they're giving you leeway in terms of what they can afford in terms of maybe the delivery services, their own internal fees that they charge. In terms of the items priced itself, it's very rare unless it's a, you know, it's an effort that it's led by a bigger kind of deal. So you use a Malaysia Day sale. Yep. You got the 11/11 sale,
12-12 sale. Those kind of sales, you get the manufacturers involved as well, because then they buy it in bulks, they prepare it in advance. But, you know, we've fallen for so many of this, especially on ads on Instagram, on Facebook or YouTube or any kind of social media platforms, right? They will always share with you, you know, there's a sale going on for this item. And then the poster will always say it's, you know, 9 ringgit for a ticket to, you know, say Bali or whatever, right? And then you go like, oh, wow, 9 ringgit for a ticket to Bali. But then you will never be able to find that 9 ringgit ticket.
Not once.
I've
never
like,
got it once.
And if you have, please let us know. Because I've never found that 9 ringgit or like that, you know, the price that's stated on that ad. Or I've known anyone who've actually bought something that's stated on the ad. It's slightly more. Maybe if it's 9 ringgit, by the time I get through it, it's like 19 ringgit. It's fine by me still because I had a certain budget. But it's misleading me, right?
Speaking of misleading, the idea of psychological pricing is something that is fascinates me. And when I was doing marketing at uni, you know, when something is priced at $1.99 or $99 or 99 cents or whatever, and you speak to people, and if it's $1.99, they're like, "Oh, it's only $1." I'm like, "No, it's not. $2."
Yeah,
you know, it's clever. Right, short break. Let us know, folks. 0187-89-8899, Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. Music up from Basement with "Are You the One?" Are you the one that's been tricked into paying more for your getaway? Let us know. All coming up on BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandhu.
Arvind Yuvraj.
We are talking about whether or not you've been tricked into paying more for your getaway from an article in the Straits Times. Interestingly enough, they're offering an introductory offer to their magazine at 0.99 cents per month. Right.
Are 34 people looking at it?
34 people are looking at it, and you've got to buy it now. Buy it now. Buy it now. Right. So we've given you some of the things that we've fallen for. I suppose fallen for is the right term, right?
Yeah,
because we have Jeff and the whole you know, the flight thing, and and Arvin with his 34 people looking at it, and that is the one that really gets me, you know, motivated to want to buy something or need to buy something.
I've also noticed how, because I do a lot of online subscriptions to magazines and, you know, like just portals, media portals and stuff, right? So sometimes I would get an email saying that, you know, for a limited time only, you can continue your subscription for, you know, $1 for, you know, and it's only like a limited time. It will expire by Friday, for example, right? And at times, at first I was like, oh, you know what, that's a good deal, because maybe, you know, for example, I may be paying $2.99 for the 1 year subscription, and then I thought like, oh, for me to extend another year, it's only $1. So I'm like, alright, I'll do this because it's only till Friday, and maybe because I'm a customer, I feel like only me is getting this kind of deal, so I subscribe, right? But then I noticed that every once in a while, I will get that same email. So whether or not I paid that, you know, that $1 during that limited time, I could have just probably waited, because they would have still sent me again. And they keep sending me every month saying that for a limited time only, you can extend your subscription. And so much so that I've just basically on my email, I've reported it as spam, and then it's gone to my archive. So now I just don't get that email, because I will renew when I want to renew.
Right. A couple of things, and I've mentioned this to Arv before, is when I initially signed up for Amazon Prime's trial, and I forget how much it was. It was super cheap. And you signed up, I think maybe it was about $8 or $9 or $9.99 per month or something like that. And that included Prime delivery in certain parts of the world, obviously Prime Video and all kinds of stuff. And then when I came to cancel it, I was still getting charged on a monthly basis, right? And I go to the website, I log in with the same email that I have created this account for, and I check the Prime tab, and it says, "You are not subscribed to Prime." And I'm like, huh?
And you're still being charged.
And I'm still being charged. You know, so I called my bank, and I spoke with the bank there, and they're like, the only thing that we can do is you have to go back and tell us which days of the month you have been charged. Then you have to file a claim. And then after that, we will cancel your card, give you a new card, and then everything should be rosy.
Yeah.
Which I did. and yet I am still being charged. So obviously it's been charged to my bank account rather than my card. Mm. And I have no idea how to cancel this thing, you know?
It's a direct connection or
something.
It's a
direct connection somehow. And, you know, it's just one of those things that even when I read through all of the terms and conditions, there was nothing in there that indicated that after this period, if I had cancelled before a certain date, it just said you will be cancelled automatically. Yet it's not.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with stuff like that is that other than Singapore, obviously, there are not many watchdogs to look after these people or look at these people and what they're doing. So if you go to like sneaker sites are famous for doing the slash pricing and saying there's only one unit of this size left. And sneakers can cost $500 and it's completely like realistic. It's not out, you know, it's nothing abnormal, but they can also cost like $200 and $150. So you would never know if they actually cost $500 and they are on sale. Or they always just cost $150 and they're just showing you $500, $550, $600 as slash pricing. And there are no watchdogs. There's no one to look after these products or these people or the brands and tell the consumers, like, look, there is no way this sneaker made out of this material from this brand could cost $600.
Right.
You're being ripped off.
Right.
So we just have to believe the... either the platforms or the brands telling us what their prices are.
I mean, I remember back home in the UK, sales season, you would have it, Boxing Day sales, that, and maybe you would have something kind of mid-season sales. And that's the only time that I would ever see sales on clothing, for example. I moved to Asia. And every day is a sale, you know, regardless of which mall you go in, which store you go in, there's a sale somewhere all the time. And that honestly makes me think, well, obviously, these products that we are buying, you know, are always as cheap as they are when they're on sale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and our mentality is just to go, okay, well, if it's 99 cents or it's $1.99 or whatever it is, you know, you're expected to buy and lap it up.
If you flip it around, have there been any products where they have slashed the price and then you saw it for a super cheap bargain and you didn't pick it up because you went, oh, I'll still find the same thing next week, and then it actually jacked up?
Yes.
Which ones?
Sneakers for me.
Sneakers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a home device, very similar to the Google device that I was looking at recently.
For me, it's the PlayStation Store.
Oh.
So I've missed a bargain. I went like, I'll pick it up, and I forgot when the end date was, and I didn't pick up the game, and then the following date actually jacked up to its original price.
But the thing is with these kind of, like, you know, I'm a PlayStation user myself also, and, you know, I noticed that, you know, when they have their sale, it is a sale. Like, you know, they are quite upfront with what's the discount. But then, you know, as the sale ends, it generally comes back again because, you know, like, you know, Christmas is around the corner.
Yeah.
And then there's New Year, then there's Chinese New Year. So if you download this game and you don't really have the time to invest in it, I always tell myself, like, right, Jeff, do you have time to invest in this game? No, I don't. All right, so let's wait for the next sale and then ask yourself the same question again. Yep. Because then the next sale will probably be a little bit more cheaper because the game is aging, right?
Or like what we've done in the past is when you see it up on sale and you don't have time to commit to it, just buy it anyway. Don't download it and it ends up in your library anyway.
Yeah, but then you pay a
You're
lot.
You're still paying for it.
No, only if it's on sale. Only if it's on sale.
Yeah.
Right, we did manage to speak to Aaron Sarma. He's the founder of Vidi, formerly Touristly, and currently the general partner over at Scale Up Malaysia. We asked him we asked him a bunch of questions, really. And the first question we asked was, what do you think of the ethics of these kinds of marketing and pricing practices?
Every business will do some sort of clever pricing methodology to get people interested or get people interested to buy. And I don't think this is unique to internet businesses as a whole. When we go to grocery stores, there are strike-off prices and there are special promo deals, and then there are special like add-on kind of services. I'm not saying that this makes it right, but what I'm saying is this is not a problem that's unique to internet-based businesses, and it's not unique in the travel space either. Clearly, the consumer should also be responsible for the decisions that they make and to make sure they do the right kind of research before they make these decisions. I do think from a retailer standpoint, it's also important that we first of all recognize that we're not in business for the short haul, but rather we're in business for the long haul. So it's really important that we build long-term relationship with our customers versus a quick and easy buck. I think that's like the first responsibility of every retailer who's out there.
And from a consumer standpoint, what should they be aware of when it comes to websites like these?
One thing for sure is is not to be fooled by the first thing that they see on the website, right? And they should be aware of what is the real original price, what is the real product that they're actually buying. The other thing is just to make sure that they go to websites that are trustworthy, to do a little bit of research of who they're doing business with. I think they also should be somewhat aware. I know most consumers don't do this, but kind of the terms and conditions of the products that they buy. In there, sometimes there are little nuggets of information which will tell you exactly what they're in for, especially in the travel case. The person who's giving you the service is not the online platform. And most online platforms are basically intermediaries or middlemen who are putting the deals together. And most consumers need to realize that this is the case. They're just like, we are just acting as the person bringing you the product, but the actual service is rendered by somebody else.
Final question, and from a business perspective, what are the best practices for building trust with your consumers on websites like these?
It's the idea that we're here for the long haul. If you have that perspective, you realize it's important for you to build relationships with consumers. And it's important not to make a quick buck or to try to take advantage of the situation, even though it may be tempting to do so. Ensuring that the prices are adequately and fairly presented to the customer. If there are, in fact, additional charges, you make it very clear in your product that there will be additional charges under certain conditions. If there are things that the customer needs to know, they need to be told beforehand. So I think just making sure you're presenting things clearly is really important, and that's part of building that trust. The other thing is being able to be easily contacted. People don't like to write long emails, and people are so used now to receiving chat instantly. You know, it's a rare message they respond, and they're happy to communicate that way. People also hate being on the phone for like 30 minutes before they get an answer, right? Really important in building that trust. They need to know there's somebody on the other side who's willing to help them.
That was Aaron Sarma, the founder of Vidi, formerly Touristly. Arv.
Yeah, so all things that he said in that last point is exactly why I get my stuff on Amazon. So Amazon sort of counters all these things that we're talking about. And I know they have their problems with their warehouses and, you know, the news that has come out about them. That's a completely different story. But the couple of times that I've bought stuff on Amazon for a certain price, and the next day, if the price drops, I get in contact with their customer service guys and they respond on the chat, like almost immediately. And they match the pricing. So even if you buy something on one of their sales days the day before and you see the price slash the next day, you can go like, hey, I've added this, I've bought it, it's dropped within 24 hours. I feel it's a bit unfair. They will match the pricing for you.
Yeah. You know what? I found that with a lot of American retailers, you know, even in brick and mortar stores, you can walk in and you say, I've seen this cheaper somewhere else. And all they say is, can you prove it? You know, and you bring up a very website easy on your phone, show them. Okay, we'll match that. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Right, we have to take a short break. More coming up after the break, of course. Nothing lasts forever, 21. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, our story there. We've got music to take us into the break with The Birds. I'll feel a whole lot better. We'd feel a whole lot better if we got a few more messages. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Have you been tricked into paying more for your getaway? Let us know.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.